Thank you. How you guys doing today? Good? All right, man. There's a lot of services at The Rock. Wow, I'm used to doing two services in the morning, going home, and then barbecuing and eating. Now we got to come back. There's like six. It's awesome. The Rock Church is huge, and we're glad to be a part of it. We're glad that the youth ministry can take over all these services, amp them up on some Red Bull, let us loose. Let us loose. If you guys would help me feel a little bit more comfortable being the youth pastor here. If you want to just get up with some of your girlfriends and go to the bathroom while I'm speaking, go right ahead. Go right ahead. Helps me feel a little more comfortable. This whole section right in maybe in here, just start texting on your phone to your friends. And I'm okay. Just go ahead and do it. I'm used to it. If towards the end of my message, you know that part where I pause and we're leading up and everybody's like on the edge of their seat and God's going to speak to me and you feel like God's speaking right to you? Someone please just knock over like your cup of soda and everyone turn around, a huge distraction, and then oh, it's gonna take me like another 5 minutes to regain what I'm talking about. So I love youth ministry. I believe God has hardwired me exactly for junior high youth ministry. I've been doing junior high youth ministry at The Rock since it started, on staff for 5.5 years. My wife and I we came with Miles. I was at Horizon before this, doing junior high. Not long before that, I was in junior high. So, and all you all were in junior high at one point. So I'm just looking at everybody thinking, there's a bunch of junior hires right here. So we have a lot of junior high youth leaders. I want to give a shout out to them for helping out all day as well. Really, without volunteers, really, myself and Pastor Darren, we're just up here talking and just chaos going on. So we definitely love when people give their time, invest into one student, three students for that, you know, just everybody has something to give. So I believe youth ministry is just the best ministry ever. Just kidding. Like I said, today is my first, actually, Father's Day. My daughter's be turning one next week, so I'm pretty stoked on that. Yeah, it's cool. Oh, they stole a picture. That's my wife, Trish. My name's Drew, and our daughter's name is True. Hey, yep. She's pretty creative, you know what I mean? So, that's right. I'm originally from Kailua, Oahu. That's my hometown, born and raised there. Came out here maybe 10 years ago. Live in San Diego. It's pretty much the same thing. I tell myself that. But anyway, this past year, I've learned so much about God's love through having a baby girl. Man, from the day she was born, she came out, and the first couple minutes was, wah! What is that? Gross. You know? But it seems like when you have a baby, and you parents know this, God sort of opens up your heart and just pours in all this love that you never thought your heart could be that huge, and it can hold all that love for somebody else. It's ridiculous. I'm still blown away every day when I see her and I hold her and I see her sleeping. My heart just pounds, and it's amazing. Amen, parents? Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. I've also learned a few other things about God as our dad, just through being involved with youth for a while, and just in talking with people. One truth that I've learned is that we often see God, our Heavenly Father God, through the lens of our earthly dad. Okay, regardless of what kind of dad you may have had or didn't have, you will tend to view God through him. And that can be a hard pill to swallow. It might just be a reality check. But I want to challenge you tonight, you know, to keep that in the back of your mind. But I want to look into Scripture to show you guys who God really is and the kind of dad he wants you to know him as. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139. And if I can throw in one more little dad nugget, because I got like a year under my belt. Is that our job as dads is to help our children see that their Heavenly Father's plan for them is perfect. Our plan might be good. God's plan for us is perfect. Well, let's go to Psalm 139. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Lord, I thank you just for this opportunity to come to the rock and to serve at the rock. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to see all these junior hires and high school lives change. And Lord, I've also seen volunteers' lives change for giving their time. And Lord, it's incredible just to come and worship you. Lord, thank you for being our Heavenly Father who gives us good gifts. Thank you for creating us. And Lord, I know that you have a message for all of us here tonight. And we love you, Lord. And Rock Church says, amen. Amen. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. The whole psalm is a psalm by David. And if you read the entire thing, you'll probably notice, hey, this sounds like some songs that I sing in church. It's a psalm just describing that how big God is and how big his love is for you. It says, you know, whether you are far or near, God knows everything about you. Well, let's pick it up in verse 13. It says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I use the New Living Translation for junior hires. That yours might say some different things like fearfully and wonderfully made. Your life has been scripted out into eternity. So bear with me. Some of you guys are reading straight out of the Greek translation, some of you Bible college kids. But anyway, this is saying that, you know, God created you, therefore he knows you, and he has a purpose for your life. And not only that, it gets better. Verse 16 says, every day of your life is scripted out into eternity. Before today, before eternity, your life has already been planned out. Because he's God. He can do that. That's how big God is. That's your Father in heaven. He has such a perfect plan for your life. He has written every single thing out for you. And it's a good plan. And we have to trust him in that plan. One of my favorite verses, you don't have to turn here, just write it down. In the New Testament, it's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10. It's like my life verse, you know how they say that? But it's, whatever, it's a good verse. It says, you are created, you are God's workmanship, or you are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has already prepared in advance for you to do. So man, that takes pressure off of me, trying to do good every day. When I was, I learned some things about God, I said, through my own dad. I backed up. I missed this whole part. It's really important. Keep that in mind. My father, growing up, was my little league baseball coach. Any little league baseball coach dads in here? Yeah. He would come home all jazzed up to put on his, like, bike shorts. Like, dad, dude, those aren't cool. Okay? His hat. He would take me to practice, and he'd coach me. And, you know, I was a typical kid. I was just, you know, trying to slack off. And, dad, can I be pitcher today? You know, can I bat first, dad? I don't want to go to practice. Did that fly with my dad as a coach? No way. He was, like, harder on me. Right? Take a lap. What, dad? Come on. You know what I mean? My friends, like, wouldn't come over, like, the whole summer. They're like, dude, your dad's going to, like, drill me. I'm going to have to set up pillows in the living room and, like, run situations. You know what I'm saying? But my dad, I saw my dad as a coach. So therefore, what did I sort of struggle with was seeing God as a coach, performing for God. If I did well during a week, I got playing time. If I messed up, which I did, obviously, I was afraid of God. I wouldn't even want to be around God. It's like he was up there waiting for me just to mess up. Right? It's like, oh God, oh, I'm going to get busted by God. So there wasn't that intimacy between me and God. And the Bible says, you know what? It doesn't matter. God wants to bless you regardless. He knows you're going to mess up. You're a sinner. On the other hand, on the off season, of course, which is more of the year, my dad was the kind of dad that taught me how to swim. He buried me in the sand at the beach and touched my, you know, toes and tickled me until I wanted to pee. we had this game. You might play this game in your living room. It's called like the sofa pillow monster, where you get the biggest pillow you put in the middle of the living room, and then you run around your dad like, hi, can you catch me, dad? And you run around, your dad grabs you, yeah! And you're like, no, he drags you, and he just like tortures you some more. You know, wet willies, and my dad had this beard, it was like the 70s, had this big old beard, and he'd like rub it all over my face. I was like, no, dad, he'd rub it all over my back. Till today, I have these patches of hair on my back. I know that's what it's from. And rub them off. Dad, look what you did. Gross. But I think fortunately enough for me, I did see God as authoritative, supreme, and also as a daddy, as an intimate, playful daddy. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned that before I said that, hey, you know what? Our Father in heaven has a perfect plan for our life, and it's scripted out into eternity. So we just got to walk in that. Let's go to this verse, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 9. It says, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask? Now, even the best of parents mess up. I'm a dad. I've had a year to try and not mess up. But I mess up. Because I like to mess with my daughter. Okay? I like, it says, you give your daughter good gifts. Now she's going to be one. She's like, I want what you're eating. So I give her a lemon. Here you go. Try a lemon. She tries it. And I laugh because I'm, and I get on videotape. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. We sprinkle the whole water on her while she's not paying attention. Just kind of sprinkle it out there, and she looks confused and cries around. And here's my favorite. Here's my favorite. I pick her up, and I blow in her face. You ever blew in a baby's face? So funny. You go, and that's like my favorite thing to do. So I'm probably not going to be asked to work in the Pebbles pathway for sure. For sure, for sure. I got two words for you guys, because I want to use a big word in the adult service. I use a big word in junior high. It's called Ritalin. You taking Ritalin today? My big word for you guys is transcendent. Say transcendent. Okie dokie. And I got another one. Imminent. Say imminent. Some of you stuttered in that one. Imminence. Imminence. I was just kidding. Okay, transcendent, imminent. What that means is transcendent God, big God, he's out there. A lot of people seem to see God as a transcendent God, where he's a God, he makes the earth, he winds it up and is, lets it in motion, and whatever happens, happens, and he's up there just, you know, cruising with Jesus, right? An imminent God, he's a daddy God, he's a close God. He wants to be involved in all of your doings, and he wants to know what you're doing and in your thoughts, and he's right there. The Jews knew this, and they had a word for God, for Father God. It was Abba. Say Abba. Abba. Say it again. Abba. Say it backwards. Abba. Good. Say Dad. Dad. Say Dad backwards. Dad. All right. Very good. Very good. If you go to Mark 14, go to Mark 14. We see the word Abba used by none other than Jesus himself. God's son came to his Abba father in probably the most crucial time of his life. It was before he was going to endure the cross. And I remember Jesus knew God's plan for his life. Jesus was born to die. It was God's perfect plan. And Jesus came to God. He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, praying so hard, he was sweating blood. That's some praying, all right? Jesus and God. Verse 36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will, not mine. See, in our most trying times, in our hardest times, God wants us to call him Abba and raise our hands so he can pick us up. We do it in worship. We come. We're broken. I can't do it. He says, hey, let me pick you up. Let me carry you. Sing Abba, Father. That's why we sing that. Maybe you didn't know that. Abba means daddy. It's an intimate God. You know, I found this out to be true, that when our children are hurt and they come crying is when we as dads feel closest to them. My daughter, she was messing around and she grabbed the shaving cream off the counter and it was full because I want to keep the beard for the beard rash, right? So she dropped it and it smashed her toe. I thought it was funny. Like, oh, really? And her toe was just bust. You know, it gets all black and all the blood gets under it. And she was crying. She had that cry where it smacked her toe and just. And I was picking her up. Okay, good. And she was, you know, and she breathed. You have that non-breathing cry. It gets kind of scary. But she breathed. And all day, she didn't want to be put down. Where did she want to be? In daddy's arms with a tear in her eye and her big toe and just looking at me like it was my fault. I thought she gave me some stink eye. I was like, I didn't do it. That's mom shaving cream. No. And her toe was all just bust. And then it started to heal. And then it started to look like grandpa's toenail. It was all yellow and like an inch thick. You know, I got to file it down. Then it fell off, so my wife kept it. Yeah, you keep all that stuff from your first child. You just keep, you know, toenails. I don't know, their first diaper. All right? The rest of the kids, you know, just throw that stuff away. You know, say, hey, where are they? I don't know. All right. I can't think about the school today. I don't know. But that day, I never forget that day, because she just looked at me, this Abba, Daddy. You know, that's what God wants you guys to know him as, Abba, Daddy. And I think the enemy rips us off because maybe our dads didn't do the greatest job. But hey, regardless of what kind of dad you had, know that God in heaven, he wants to love you. He wants to show you his love, and his plan is perfect for you. His plan is perfect for you. I got a thought for the week. I do a thought for the week with the junior hires because they might only have one thought to take home. So I talk for 30 minutes and they go home and, what'd you learn today? I don't know. I gave them some candy and made some jokes. Said I should take my Ritalin or something, Mom. My thought for the week is this. Know that your Heavenly Father wants to know you, to grow you, and to show you his plan for your life every day. Tell the message is Father's Day every day, because God wants you to walk with him every day. Amen? Amen? Amen. Cool. I only got 20 minutes because I want to bring up our senior pastor, Pastor D. Now, I'm Pastor D as well, and he's Pastor D. So today I want to make it easy for you guys. Just know that, hey, one of us is tall, dark, and handsome, and the other one's Pastor D. So, come on up here, Darren.
Good evening.
Good evening.
A lot of dads look like y'all had a good Father's Day meal. Eyes are kind of rolling. Wake up. If y'all see them nodding, just hit them one good time. Y'all see anybody nodding? Well, as introduced, I'm Darren. I have been here for a number of years, 5.5 years, serving with Drew. But there are... What really amazes me is how God really does handcraft us for his work. And sometimes we don't really understand exactly what he's doing with us, and we want to kind of pull out of it. But my encouragement to you is that, you know what? God knows you far better than anybody else. He made you. He spent way more time making you than your parents did. So you know what? Let's trust him. Let's trust him. I want to reread this passage to you because I think it really is going to tie everything. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." I'm back in Psalms 139, verse 13. It says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it." Everybody say never.
Never.
Say never.
Never.
God may be preparing you right now for something that you never, ever dreamt about. Never thought it would happen to you. If I was to ask the guys, most guys, especially if they're 18 and under, or especially in high school, I'd say, "Hey, man, you ever dream about, you know, your wedding day? You got your wife all picked out, and you know what your tuxedo's going, well, we know your tuxedo's going to be black, but, you know, the color of your tie and, you know, all of this stuff. You got, you know, everything picked out." Most guys will give you that look like, "Not me, dog. I'm going to be a player for life." Yeah. Why is that? But then on the other side, you ask a girl that same question, 10, 11 years old, 12 years old max, they got it by then, everything. They know where they're going to get married. They know where the guy's going to be come from. They know what their dress is going to look like. They know how long the train's going to be. They got their maid of honor, matron of honor picked out. They know how big the ring is going to be. They got all this stuff wide picked out. Say never again. Never one time in my whole entire life did I ever dream or think or imagine that I would be married. I always thought, player for life, baby. But you know, God had a bigger plan because he handcrafted me to do something far different than what I've seen in my life. I've been married. My wife is Vicky right there. I've been married for 14 years. Say hi to my wife. Hi, Vicky. We've been married for 14 years. Never one time did I ever think that I would have kids. It's like, kids? Ew. I don't want no kids. You mess me up. But God said, "You know what? I'm handcrafting you for something that I need you to do." He's blessed me with 3 kids. You see my daughter up here who's 17. I have a son, little Darren, who's 12. And then my youngest daughter who's 9 years old. Her name is Dejanet, like the Proud family. I didn't get it from there. And the last thing, I never, ever imagined or thought, even when I was out of college, even when I got saved, even when I was walking with the Lord strong, I never imagined being a pastor. Never, not one time. But God said, "You know what? Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." So I have 3 kids. I have 3 biological children. And the Lord has blessed me with probably over 100 plus spiritual children whom I treat just like my kids. Some young ladies, I see they've been making bad decisions as far as picking out a boyfriend. I offer my services to them. I say, "Hey, you know, you've been making not the best decisions. Why don't you have this guy that's interested in you give your pastor a call?" Say, "Oh, yeah, you can have my number. Before you get my number, you have to call this number. And then if you pass, then he'll give you my number." Yeah. I mean, that's fair, right? Yeah. I bring it up because as we go through life, just like Drew said, we are the way we see our earthly father. Sometimes we see our heavenly father. And a lot of times that could jack us up. That could really mess us up. Because sometimes our earthly father doesn't always do what he should be doing. And that messes us up when we look at earthly father. Because sometimes, you know, you say father and it just triggers something that's not good. And it shouldn't be like that. Because dads, we're the ones. We're the ones to protect. We're the ones to protect our kids. We're the one that's supposed to be teaching our young men what it means to be a man. That's our role. That's our job. Say 25 cent. Say 25 cent. When I was growing, I grew up in the Bronx, New York. Born and raised there. Grew up in the projects. My mom is over there. She's always been my mother. But I grew up in the projects, and for whatever reason, my biological dad decided that he didn't want to be there. And I saw him a handful of times, knew who he was, and one time I saw him, and he gave me 25 cents. Here you go, son. Now, if that was the picture of God, I would have had a couple of ideas of God. They would have been, one, God is either cheap or broke. Come on, baby, 25 cents? Even though back in the day, you can get a lot of candy for 25 cents. But even still, it's like, you know what? That view that I had of my biological dad, I couldn't take that to my heavenly father. Because that wasn't where God wanted me. And God somehow, in his sovereignty, he protected my mind. He protected me from that view. He protected me. But that was part of the life that he's given me now as a father, as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor. He's put that in my life because he said, you know what? I have something special for you to do. There's going to be a lot of kids. When you become a pastor, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of kids who are going to have lived through the same exact thing you lived through. And you'll be able to say, I know. Now, I'm not just saying I know what you're going through, but I know exactly what you're going through. Because for the first part of my life, probably up to the age of 12, and then my stepdad came on the scene, but the age of about 12 years old, there was no dad. It was my grandfather and my mom. And my biological father wasn't there. But God said, you know what? I'm putting it all together. I'm putting it all together. One of the things I love is I love lemon cake. Lemon bundt cake. Lemon bundt cake from Costco. Did it again. And when I think about, man, when I cut a man-sized Happy Father's Day slice of that lemon, but not a slice, but a hunk. You know, you just or some just grab it, and you bite it, and then your mouth is salivating, and it's just, and then don't put no ice cream with it. It's just like, oh my goodness. But imagine someone said, man, I heard you love lemon cake from Costco. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to experience it a whole new way. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you all the ingredients of the cake. And let's see if you experience it the same way. Let's see if it tastes the same way. So they said, okay, here's the egg. So you crack the egg and you put the egg in your mouth. And then you get some flour and you put that in there. And then you try to wash it down with some oil, right? And then you get some, I don't even know if there's lemons in there, but you get some lemons. And then you get some thiamine mononitrate. Y'all didn't know that was in there, huh? That's the thing that make y'all keep coming back. But you get all these different ingredients, right? And you put them in your mouth separately. It doesn't taste the same. But when you put them all together, because I really think that there's a grandma in the back kitchen or something in Costco, like, just doing a thing back there. But when you put it all together, it makes something like that. There are a lot of things in our lives that we have to go through that we don't understand. There are a number of things that we don't understand. There are a number of mononitrates in our life that we don't know where in the world is just going to fit in. But when God says, you know what, let me just put it all together. Just trust me. Just follow me. I have a great plan for your life. If you follow me, I'll show you how to use all of this that I'm putting together in your life. As a father, it's a pressure-packed position. It's a lot of pressure being a dad. And as I said, growing up, you know, my biological dad wasn't there. And you know what? I would have loved for him to have been my coach. I would love, you know, for him to have, you know, done all the different things. Maybe give me beard wraps so I have some patches of hair on my back. You know, those things would have been cool because there are some privileges you have as a dad. Like one of the things I love as a dad is to say, you know, Dad, why can't I do that? Because I said so. Oh, that's it. That's it. You're like the food taster. Like you have rights to everybody's food. When you go out and eat with your kids, you have rights. And I gotta make sure it ain't bad for you. All right? You have rights. I would have loved all of that stuff. But for whatever reason, God said, you know what? You have to go through this so I can prepare you to be the husband. I can prepare you to be the father. I can prepare you to be the youth pastor. You have to go through this. And if you trust me, you'll see how all of this stuff comes through. As I said, a dad is the pressure position, and there's no dad that have more pressure than this man. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Like, as you turn in there, it's more pressure than a dad driving and he knows he's lost and having to ask for directions. And everybody knows you're lost. More pressure than that. More pressure than, you know what, God may be calling you to say, you know what, you are the one that's going to bring the gospel, not to your school, but to your family. Like Leslie had to do or has to do. God may be calling you for that. But this man right here, he had the most pressure-packed position ever. And I feel he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He's like the ultimate Bible father, of course, other than God the Father and Jesus. That man is Joseph. Could you imagine the pressure that this man endured? If God said, you are going to father the Savior of the world. Most times our kids become what we kind of make them, right? Or the things that we want them to do. But God said, no, you're going to father the Savior of the world. Could you imagine? Like, what do I feed them? I can't give them fruit snacks. Capri Sun? No, I can't. I can give fruit, bananas, and what I send them to school. All these different things, that's serious pressure. But let's read, because I want to pull out just a couple of things from this passage. It says, now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. I want to pull out just a couple of quick nuggets for you. I have a couple of years. I have you always got to make things look better than they are. I have 38 years of father experience. So I know a couple of things. Not a pro, because I mess up too, but 38, if y'all wondering, like, he's not 60, is he? Just add the kids up. Like, once you get two and it's double and three. It's college degree, what can I say? No. First thing, greater thing, what the first thing is that, you know what? Joseph knew that this was something greater than him, yet he accepted it anyway. He knew that this was bigger than him. A virgin getting pregnant during those times was taboo. It was impossible, first of all. But for her to have gotten pregnant and not have been his, and they knew that he was a just man, a righteous man, that was taboo. Like, she was supposed to be stoned. It was supposed to be over. That was supposed to be it. But he was a just man. Joseph said, you know what? God commanded him to do and to follow through with this engagement, and he was a righteous man and followed through with that. Have you or are you willing to accept something or accept things greater than you? Something that you've never, ever imagined that God has maybe begun to put on your heart. And you're saying, no, not me. And you're looking maybe at your past or you're looking at, you know, other things, maybe your neighborhood or your school or your family. And God is saying, no, it's you. I know all that about you. Are you willing to accept that? Despite what the world told him to do, he did what God told him to do. You know that Joseph had a couple of his buddies that were saying different things about him. Joseph, I heard Mary's pregnant, and she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, right? Right. Joseph, have you ever heard of anybody getting pregnant by the Holy Spirit? No, exactly, Joe. She's playing you. You know, I mean, I'm sure they didn't say it like that, but there had to be that, because this, it never happened before. So there was all types of different things coming up. But here's the biggest thing that Joseph did is he didn't allow his lack of understanding to determine his obedience. He didn't allow his lack of understanding to determine his obedience. Even though he didn't understand, I'm sure he didn't understand. Why me? I just want to marry my high school sweetheart. I just want to live happily ever after. And I have to, you know, first I have to birth the Savior of the world. My wife's a virgin. I have to, you tell me what to name him. I got to move somewhere. I don't even know anybody. Lord, why me? But you know what he said? Even in all of that, he said, you know what? I'll do it because I trust you, God. Are we willing to do that? Dad, despite what your life has been like, despite what your father has been like, maybe you had a dad who was your coach, who was there for you, who played, your living room monster with you, who did all that fun stuff. Or maybe you had an experience similar to me where you didn't have your dad, where your picture was distorted. Are you willing? Are you willing to, despite your understanding, are you willing to be obedient to what God is calling you to do? The last thing he did is he displayed self-control as a man, because his wife remained pure. His wife remained a virgin. Self-control is huge now. Lack of self-control is almost applauded. You see it on TV. You see it on sporting events. Managers kicking dirt and acting like little kids and guys, you know, fighting and yelling and getting technical fouls and all of this stuff. You know, that is promoting to me lack of self-control. Self-control is big. There's so many things that we can learn from Joseph, us dads, but not just for dads, for moms, for sisters, brothers, for everybody. We can learn some things from this man right here. Some qualities that make a great father are love, sacrifice, provision, discipline. Why is this Father's Day every day? Because if we look at our Heavenly Father, he loves us every day. He sacrificed for us the greatest sacrifice. We can never repay that. He disciplines us. We don't like that part. That's the mononitrate. He provides for us. He gives us wisdom, his word. Father's Day, every day. Because our Heavenly Father said, you know what? I have a plan for you. I've handcrafted you. I know exactly what I want you to do, what I want you to be. Some of the things we go through is due to our disobedience. But there may be things that we go through that we don't understand. And God will say, you know what? Just stay with me. Just let me put it all together. And you'll watch this all work out for the good. In the animal kingdom, there's an animal. I guess it's an animal. It's not a person, so it has to be an animal. Call this the seahorse. That's Bud. Everybody say hi, Bud. Bud the seahorse is the ultimate father to me, because Bud becomes pregnant, the male. Yeah, guys, can you imagine that? No way. Women are like, yes, just one time. But what happens is the mother, she develops the eggs and she inserts them into a pouch inside his stomach, and he takes and nurses them for 6 to 8 weeks, and then he's the one who feeds them while they're in there, and then he has them. That's the ultimate dad. Now, do I want to go that far? I don't know. But you know what? What God is saying, dads, it's our job to show our daughters what love is. It's our job to show them so when the counterfeit comes, they'll know exactly what the artificial love looks like. It's our job, dads. It's our job to protect our daughters. It's our job to, you know what, for those guys that don't have your daughter's best intentions at heart, to be scared of dad, to know that dad will go to jail. That's right. I want you to know that. I love my kid. I love my family that much. I'll go to jail to protect my family, protect my daughter. It's our job as dads to teach our sons to be men. That sex doesn't make a young man a man. It's our job, dads, to teach them that. And dads, we need to stand up. Because dads, for whatever reason, is becoming an endangered species. Endangered species. And it's time for us to stand up. So what I want to do right now is, I want three groups to stand up. First, I want all the dads to stand up first. All the dads, can you stand up? Thank you. Then the next group is, I want all the guys who want to be dads after they get married. They want to be dads. I want all those guys to stand up because we want to give you some pre-prayer. Yes, I love seeing high schoolers like, yeah, I love that. And then the last group is maybe your dad is in the military fighting for our freedom, protecting this country. If you can, stand up and represent your father. If some of those people are here as well. Let me pray because this says end 000. So that means the mic's about to go off now. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the ultimate father. And no matter what our earthly father has been like,